in the light of God's word that we have read, as we are called by the Apostle Peter, God's Spirit speaking through him, where he says to us, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. We're going to talk about babies this morning, newborn babies. We don't have a baptism. But there was a very down-to-earth man who has told us to learn from newborn babies and milk. This down-to-earth man, very straightforward kind of man, Peter, had heard a great teacher saying often, the kingdom of heaven is like birds and seed, trees and so on. And in effect, Peter is saying to us today, the kingdom of heaven is like a newborn baby. It's like the way that babies grow. I think he realized that, as we spoke about earlier, the way that man is made is consistent. Our basic physical needs follow a pattern, and we may well learn from that, we ought to learn from that concerning our spiritual condition, our spiritual needs. And so he says, as, just as with babies. If they are to grow physically, they need milk, they desire milk. And as with babies, to grow physically, there are very strong parallels for every one of us if we are to grow spiritually. As he writes at the close of his second letter, his plea is that all who hear him would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so today, as we hear this word of God, some very basic things that we must learn from. And I think we can see, even in the words that Peter says, that babies need to grow. We need, therefore, to see that babies need milk, and that babies, therefore, desire milk. Under these headings, babies need to grow, babies need milk, and babies desire milk. Let us learn from this parable. Babies need to grow. Peter is saying, so do you. As we discussed earlier, it's expected, it's just assumed that a baby should grow. If he or she didn't, then mum would soon be off to the pediatrician, very concerned. All other things being equal, it's in the nature of the human frame that, at least until a certain stage of maturity, that growth is expected. If we're healthy, a certain amount of growth is essential, as a general rule. So it should be in our hearts, in the spiritual realm. The more I think about it, as I become more aware that the Bible doesn't seem to give any explanation why you must grow in the faith. There are a good many places where the writers, especially in the New Testament, say things, as I've already quoted from Peter, that you should look to grow. He's telling us at the end of his second letter, grow. It's an instruction. You should do it. Very rarely does it say so much about why it should be done. And I say that because it's an expectation. It's what should be happening as Christians. Then there are places where we are guided as to how to grow. Maybe it doesn't say much about why, but it tells us that we should. and it tells us how to grow. And this is one of them. In other words, that we should grow in the faith is as much an expectation as that little Carmen down there should grow, or out of the back. Where is she just now? She's in there somewhere. We expect that she'll be growing, and in no time at all she'll be running about all over the place. But just so, you should be expecting yourself to grow in the faith, in spiritual things. That baby should grow from babyhood to childhood and onwards. And so, about spiritual growth, we see it right in front of us in physical terms. We have little Catherine, we have Carmen, we have Lilibet. But what kind of growth is spiritual growth? What are we speaking about here? And I can only just do this very quickly. There are a number of areas that we may assess, if you like, where we are, where we stand, to what extent have we grown. We should be sanctified. We should be sanctifying. We should be set apart to God more and more. We should be increasing in spiritual knowledge, the things of spiritual concern. We should be growing in faith, more and more relying in confidence on God, God and His ways, that should be the pattern of our lives. We should be growing in greater love and reverence for God. But truly, He is God. He is the one who is the rule for our lives. That should work out in ever greater humility and watchfulness on our lives before Him. Grow, that in all things that you are and do, that you're becoming in your character and your conduct more and more as God means you to be. Growth, more and more, all this time. That you should be seeing development in spiritual understanding. What did the psalmist say? He was speaking of the elders of Israel, and he said, I have more understanding than them because I am in your word, your law, day and night. Seeing development, seeing a strengthening, seeing your person made more beautiful, the beauty of holiness, we sang this morning. One writer says, growth and improvement in wisdom and grace are the desire of every Christian. Do you see what he's saying? He says it is the desire. What are your desires? He says it is the desire to grow and improve in wisdom and grace. If that is the desire, it is a good sign that you are right with God in Jesus Christ. That you have that urgency about going on. You always need more of Him. Without it, without such a desire, an overriding desire, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself, your heart. Where do you stand before the great and the glorious God? The desire, it's not just about the formality. It's because you must grow. If you are to grow, remember also the baby, if they are to grow, they need milk. That's another need. If they need milk, you need the word. That's what Peter says. It is the parallel. This is the parable. If a baby is going to grow, a newborn baby, all they can take is milk. If they're to be healthy and to grow, that's what they need. If you are to grow in the faith, there's only one thing that will supply that need. If you are to be made ready for the coming of the Lord, which is what this growth, spiritual growth, is about, there is only one thing that will fulfill that need. And that is the word by which God makes himself known. If you are to be ready to meet him, you must prepare for that meeting. Many of you do it in your work situations. You do it in school when you have to go to a class. You do your homework, and so it goes on. In every other part of life, you prepare for the meeting. If you were to prepare for this meeting, how must you do it? The only place is to find God. And where does he tell us who he is? It is in his word. That's where we must go. Paul does say that there is a little bit of profit in bodily exercise, and I think we can take into that everything that's involved with the body, all kinds of care for it. He says there's a little bit of profit or benefit in that. But he says in comparison, godliness is beneficial, profitable for all things, without exception. It's in godliness, being made more like God, that we find profit for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, Paul says. And how do we find godliness? It can only be by the direction God himself gives, which is in his word. Quite simply, the baby needs milk, but the baby also needs pure milk. Milk that's not mixed up with something else. Do you remember not so long ago there was a panic in China? There were some little ones who were seriously ill with impure milk formula. It was adulterated, it was mixed with something. Even babies that are breastfed, if their mother has something in her system, some other toxin, very often that will have a bearing on the child, on the child's health. There's something mixed up in it, an impurity there. And it will not lend to growth. When the milk is pure, everything else being equal, you should see that child grow. Your spiritual growth is equally dependent on the truth and the purity of the word that you take in. I'm remembering the Corinthian church. Paul wrote to them about the Lord's Supper, and he said about that, many of you are sick spiritually. And when you look then at the behavior around all of that, the character that showed, it would seem that they were not attending to the fullness of God's word. They'd heard some bits, but they didn't care about all of it. And that's a very good picture about many churches today. Many believers. Are we steeped in all of the scripture? Do we have a desire? We need it all. Do we seek it all? In our day, there is a great deal of mixed milk. To some extent, the word of God is acknowledged, but very selectively. So often it's diluted, or it's mixed. I'm not the least bit surprised that in so many churches there's an abundance of things that have been gathered into the church that don't belong. There's instruction in the Word of God that says this is not God's way, and yet they're in the church. And then people will say, but that's not Christian, and they have so little idea of what Christian is. So often it is completely contrary to what the Lord himself has set out. But how do folk know if they don't read the Bible? All of it. Where is the longing for the Word of God? Where is the awareness that this is our essential need? And I say they. What about you? What about us? I think the devil has exercised a very successful campaign. But he has made, I think, many parts of the Christian church amongst the most busy organizations in the world. And we are so busy that we're not in God's word day and night. Where is our growth going to come from? Our busyness? do the arithmetic, the people of Israel stood from 6 o'clock in the morning till 12 midday, wanting to hear the word of God. I wonder if any of you ever catch yourself saying, I don't know when I last had a good soak in a bath. Something similar. Have you ever caught yourself saying, I don't know when I last had a good soak in God's word? That can have different implications. It can say that you haven't had a soak in God's word in living memory. It can say that you're not even there yet, that you're not approaching it, and it doesn't arise in your thinking. Where are we going to be, any one of us, if we're not soaking ourselves in the word of God? We need it as a baby needs pure milk. But like a baby, taste and see. In verse 3, Paul says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, taste and see, the Lord is good. Good to the taste. So something that you've discovered, a new food of some kind, and you say, this is wonderful. Give me more. That's what we do. I pray that you will find God's word glorious and wonderful, and you want more and more and more. It's good to the taste. It's profitable for growth. It's the thing to be desired, to make one wise. Look at the transformation. So how the devil tempted the woman about the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's God and his word that is to be desired to make you wise. And so I come to the third point. If babies need to grow, they need milk. And it's because they need milk that they desire milk. And this is the thrust, the central thrust of what Peter has to say to us. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, as babies desire pure milk, you desire the pure word. If you have a little baby, and it's a great joy that most of you have had at one time or another in your house, in your family, or you've been friends with those who have had such a child, you know that when baby is needing milk so that they can grow, they are very intense. Let's just put it that way. They are very intense about their desire for milk. You know what I mean? Mums and dads, when you're bleary-eyed the next morning, even Sunday morning, some people get to church late because feeding time has just happened as they're about to walk out the door. You cannot stop it. That child is desperate, desiring milk because they need it, because their body is growing. Where is that desire for the word of God? That intensity, the real need, the very real need, not just the supposed need, the tendency to look for other things, but the real need. It flows into a great desire. One of the very special things, I think, about this picture that Peter uses is how the baby desiring this good milk makes everyone know that they desire it. Parents can't sleep through the night because baby wants milk. Whatever baby knows, thinks it might be, that substance, this is the stuff. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is the parable. As a parable, look at yourself in the Word of God. We might say, in a sense, as a teaching elder in this congregation, you might say, I have a role similar to a parent. Will you cry out for more milk, more word? Let me know. cry out with an intense desire. Let others know. Cry out to each other, I need more of God's Word. I need to grow. I can't say that I hear a lot of those cries for the Word. Is it that I'm not hearing? Is it that you have enough for your present growth rate, which is not the same as the rate of growth that you should have, necessarily? Is it that you are not growing because the Word that you get is not pure? Consider these things. Speak of these things. Be a baby, a newborn baby, desiring the milk of the Word. Let other people know. Where is your desire? This is not the same picture as Paul uses. He compares milk and meat in the Word when he speaks to the Corinthians. There is to be growth in advance, and he does talk about that. Peter's concern here is solely on this one thing. You desire that this should be the overflowing power of your life, to desire the milk of the Word. There's a newborn baby can do nothing, lying there, doing nothing, but they can do one thing. They can tell you, I need milk. When do you say, I need the Word? I know some of you do when you go and you set yourself to Bible studies. And I urge you to continue that and be strong in that. But is there not more? When will you ever, truly be satisfied? Not just when you think you are satisfied. You cannot live on bread alone, or on anything to do with the body or material things. You must have the Word of God that comes from His mouth. Be as newborn babes. Not just a child who can make do and they start on solids or whatever it is. Newborn babes who must have this milk. They can make themselves perfectly understood. I need that milk. I desire it. From Peter's way of things, we go on here. The implication, the impact of this desire does mean that you gain growth by the Word. I'm reminded when James talks about desire of a man's heart in the completely opposite way. He says it is when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Desire does have an effect. It does bring out, it does work through, it has a power to it, that you will lay hold of the Word. A true desire, like a baby's. A baby is abandoned to this need for milk, crying out for it. This true desire will bring you to the Word, and the Word to you. It will bring you with open ears and hearts to devour the Word. And it will bring growth. This is not about just a formality, a form, going through the sermon on a Sunday morning. And I hope Sunday evening. But it's a desire from the heart. A thirst and a hunger that needs satisfaction. A thirst that will feast on what is found. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, by it. I'm reminded that the kingdom of heaven has come amongst men. Perhaps first there is the question of how real this is to you. Or is it the kingdoms of this world that are all too large in life? But the kingdom of God came amongst us by the Word. Primarily the Word that became flesh. He was the one who said, the kingdom is amongst you. The kingdom is near. Because He was near. The Word that became flesh, Christ Jesus Himself. But He also fulfilled all the Word. He completed all that had been spoken until then. And it's thus that the written word that we have now brings that kingdom into many more lives as well. It has been applied and as promised by the Holy Spirit. And so the kingdom of heaven is like a baby, newborn baby, desiring milk. It's like a child that needs to grow. It's the expectation. It's the way the child is made. It's a child that therefore needs milk and therefore desires milk. The baby knows that nothing else will produce the desired results, the necessary results. The baby cries with utter abandon, doesn't care what anyone else thinks until they're provided for. The baby demands help, demands attention for this particular need to be filled. You are the baby. The milk is the word. Where is the desire? If you have it, cultivate it, work at it, fill it, and desire more. If you don't, consider where you stand. Where is your hope placed? Your growth in spiritual things will only be, can only be, by being fed with the true word, the pure milk of the word. If you desire it, he will supply, and you will grow by it. Matthew Henry, one of the great Puritan writers, said, "The word of God does not leave a man as it finds him. The word of God, the true word of God, when it enters you, will change you." Will you let it change you? This is a call to action. God cannot read the Bible for you. You must read it. You must spend the time in it. But it is a call to action based on the condition of your heart. We plead, therefore, that the Lord will stir up in you this profitable desire. And put yourself in the way of the word. Remember Israel. 6 hours. Soaking it up. Let it change you. Put yourself in its way. Get as much of it as you possibly can. Avoid those other things that will prevent you from getting to the word. As there are so many of these things, I think, in all of your lives these days. But you will not have eternal life without the Word of God. Whether it's today or in the next few weeks, I'll be coming to you after the service with a little package. I hope will help you to cultivate this exercise all the more, your own Bible reading. I trust it will be beneficial as we set out on this further year of God's grace. If you are well exercised in these things yourself, consider others that you might pass it on to, encourage them as well. But encourage one another. Cry out for milk, the milk of the word. Desire it like this new baby, and you will grow. So may God bless your hearts, each one of us, as we hear his word today. Let us pray together.